All right, guys, I want to talk a little bit in light of Easter coming. Five key elements, okay? Five key elements to help you prepare for Easter, or five key elements to a big day, okay? And a big day has an intention. A big day is a day where we pull out all the stops so that we can make sure we get as many new people, our guests, not visitors, but guests. Call them visitors, we're expecting them and kind of framing that they're just visiting. But no, they're our guests, and we're giving them a three-try challenge to check out New Life for three weeks, not necessarily in a row, but check us out for 3 weeks, and you'll get a feel for what we're about, okay? That's what a big day is. It has a purpose. It's driven with an intent to bring as many new people in. And so Easter is our big season. And I don't know about you, but how many of you have been feeling the momentum lately? Have you been feeling the momentum at your location? Isn't it a great feeling? Yeah. Absorb it, because August is coming. And that's when a lot of pastors say, I quit. Nobody's coming to church anymore. They're on vacation. Give them a break. But here's an important verse that I think frames this whole thing, this discussion here this morning, and it's out of Proverbs 21, verse 31. Can somebody grab that for me? Does anybody have that handy? Proverbs 21, 31.
So 21, 31. Got it
right. You got it, all right.
The horse is made, yeah?
Yeah, the horse, yeah.
The horse is made ready for the day of battle. That victory rests with the Lord.
Amen, amen. There you go. Apostles' Creed now? I had that already yesterday to read right at communion time. And then I reread it again, and it said Jesus descended into hell. And I really didn't want to have to explain all that. So I just said, we're not doing Apostles' Creed today. So, I'm all about the Apostles' Creed, but I didn't want to get into those theological discussions with a ton of new people there. So anyways, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Right?
Yes.
But the horse is prepared for battle. And as we are on the eve of Easter, we need to prepare the horse. Ultimately, the Lord is the one that brings the growth, right? Apollos and Paul, they did the watering, they did the planting, they did the faithful work, but it was God that brought the growth.
Yes.
You know, that should take you off the hook when you feel all the pressure as a location pastor that your church isn't growing and the number's not there and you're being held accountable and there's a little bit more pressure on us than normal with being held accountable to different things and different metrics. But you know what? Your job, our job, is to be faithful. Yes. It's to prepare the horse. That principle of spiritual readiness, where we're doing everything we can to prepare for what's coming. And then we say, God, the growth belongs to you. You're the one that's going to bring the growth. Then who gets the glory? Who gets the credit? Do you? Do your worship team? Do your pastor? The preacher? No. God gets all the glory for the growth. And it's certainly even coming. But we need to make sure we know that we are the guys, we are the ones that are responsible as stewards to be faithful. That's our key responsibility, is to be faithful. So I want you to remember that. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. And I want to encourage you to make sure, you can use this this outline, you can use this teaching to help lead your team, to help lead your leadership team, your elder team in particular, because you want to be getting people on page. So the first element is this, prayer. Prayer. And again, these notes are adapted from Church Leader Insights, which is a coaching network that I've been a part of for years, okay? First is prayer, though. It's God that draws the people. God draws people to himself. And so we want to be praying. We want to be a praying people. Pray to double your attendance. I would encourage you to do that. Pray, God, double our attendance at Easter. So if you have 100, we're praying for 200. Double our baptisms. And so if you're having a baptism on Easter, pray that God would double that. Or you could use these and adapt them for the year. We're praying that this year we will double our baptisms. And then double your impact. What kind of impact are you having in the community? What kind of impact is your location having in the community? And just little things drive momentum. They really do. Little things. Like we did a blood drive a couple of weeks ago. And we had the blood van out there in the parking lot. When people come, there's the blood. We were promoting it. We're doing this for our community. And I was able to say yesterday from the pulpit, because of the blood drive, we were able to save 33 people's lives. And what it does is it helps the people again begin to see, focus outward and to know, because we asked the blood donation van, the people there, that where the blood goes, and it goes to hospitals in our community. Mm. How about that? Mm. Hospitals in our own community. So it's a real tangible, easy thing to do. And then also the smoke alarms. Has anybody heard about the smoke alarms that Matt DiMaggio's teamed up with Red Cross? Yeah. Have you heard about that? Okay, so we're doing yeah, you had a drive at your, yeah, and so did we. We did out in Elgin. I caught wind of that and immediately jumped on it. A free, and I don't do any work at all for it. I have somebody that is in-house champion, said, hey, take this and run with it. All they do is interface with Red Cross. But from the pulpit, I'm able to say, we're teaming up with the Red Cross to provide smoke alarms for everyone in Elgin. I hope that you can be a part of it. If you know anybody, sign them up. Had them come in. They gave a three-minute little testimony. What did it achieve for me? You know, frankly speaking, I'm not sure who's going to listen to that. I don't. It's cool that the people are getting smoke alarms. That's great. But what I'm more interested in, for selfish reasons, I guess, is just the perception, the momentum jump that I can get in the area of evangelism within my congregation to recognize you can reach outside these four walls. And these are free give-me's. They're part of the benefit we have as being a big church. We want to get the big church mentality into our locations. Yeah. And that's the big advantage of New Life. You can have a location of 60 to 100 people and you're battling through it to get through those barriers. Take advantage of like this youth conference that we did. I'm super interested in that. Why? Because I love youth, yes. But I also love the fact that I can say on a Sunday morning, we have a robust, powerful youth ministry in this church. Look, they all gathered, 400 of them. Why 400? 400 of them, yeah, gathered our church at New Life Midway. And look at this video. And if I was a church all by myself out there for 60 to 100 people, I'd never be able to do a big quality video like that. And I'd certainly never be able to pull off a big conference within my own congregation. So do you see the benefits? Those are things that you want to be doing and applying. But it all comes down to prayer. Double your impact. And then also, here's a great prayer for you and your elder team and your leaders to be praying about, is to double your first-time guests. Double your first-time guests. If I'm doubling my first-time guests, I know that I'm doubling them. Why? Because I'm counting them. I'm being intentional to get them in my assimilation system, to get them into the assimilation funnel. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But those are some things. You want to mobilize your staff. You want to mobilize your team. To pray for Easter, to pray for our first-time guests, to pray for the unchurched to be coming to church on Easter Sunday. Mobilize the worship team to be praying. You want them engaged also in it. And then mobilize the members to pray, I would even say, on Palm Sunday. So you could do this. Here's a great application point. On Palm Sunday, you say, you know what, church, we're going to get together and just have a quick prayer meeting in the fellowship hall for Easter Sunday. And so you're able to mobilize the church. You're trying to get your church to pray. And what it does is it builds up a lot of anticipation. It energizes and motivates people to hand out invitations that you, as a good pastor, are going to equip them with. You're going to give them the training, but you're also going to give them the tools. Okay, and the tools are coming from our creative team. There, you saw the artwork. Here it is. You know, we have invites also, right, Kent, that come with this? Think about that. You're able to equip this. So all you need to do is just say, I want those. Do it in a timely fashion, and then make sure you pick them up when they're over here in a bag, okay? Because I've seen a lot of stuff that we order that stays over there by all the mailboxes and never gets picked up. And I'm so tempted to say on a Monday like this, hey, guys, hey, New Life Elgin, hey, pastor from New Life Elgin, pick up your stuff. Don't let it sit in there. We worked hard to make that happen. Let's utilize what we got, right? So we have prayer is one element. The other element is personal evangelism. Listen, evangelism is the natural outcome of prayer. You care about what you pray for. You start praying for the unchurched, and you can mobilize people in your location to be praying for the unchurched. You get your elders all of a sudden. Say, hey, guys, we're going to spend this time just to pray for the unchurched. And you begin to get an excitement. And people, just a natural outcome of that is they're inviting their friends. They're more prone to invite people. And people come to church when they're invited. Whatever you pray about, you care about. Okay? I would encourage you to I would encourage you to do a training. You still have time. You could do a personal evangelism training. There's one that's put out by Nelson Searcy called The Difference Maker, and all it really is a two-hour seminar that you could be doing at your location that trains people how to share their personal testimony. That's what it does. And to maybe even share the Romans Road. It's not real intensive training, but what it is an opportunity for people to get out of their own sense of block or their own sense of insecurity or fear when it comes to sharing your testimony. And so you want to make sure that you're training your people. You could come up with your own, but do something that empowers your folks to be more practical and applying evangelistic efforts, okay? Has anybody here done a Difference Maker training?
What did you say that resource was?
The Difference Maker. The Difference Maker. It's a seminar. Just look it up. We've had a couple locations that have done it with great results. We've done it twice at Elgin. We've probably trained at least 100 people in evangelism.
And where can people get that training?
You can get the training at the, go to Searcy's coaching, or just put in their Difference Maker and then go coaching or Searcy, and you'll be able to get that. So that's a whole nother subject to how to do that effectively. But that's, again, the point I'm trying to make is training, okay? Training. Now, let me give you a quick bonus sidebar when it comes to these elements. And this bonus sidebar is really about your worship leader. You want to help your worship leader prepare for Easter. Your worship leader, and you guys all know this already, but is one of your most important relationships. One of your most, as a pastor, your worship leader's key. That is a key relationship, one you need to be investing in, one you need to keep a pulse on, making sure there's unity between the two of you, that there's the same vision, there's good communication. It doesn't have to be this burden that you're putting on yourself, but it needs to be an important relationship, because the worship leader will carry a lot of the, will communicate a lot of the DNA of the church, and has a lot of time, has just as much time, really, almost as you when you're preaching. Has a lot of influence. And so you want to try to help. This is a great time to step up on all your systems. But the worship leader, you know, you want to make sure you're singing happy songs on Resurrection Day. You know what I'm saying? It's the worst thing in the world. It's like, hey, you know, it's Resurrection Sunday, and there's a bunch of sad songs. You know, kind of low energy. Like what we sang this morning, man, great. I almost took pictures of that. It's like, I'm going to hand over to my worship. Hey, can we play this? Hey, can we play this? Hey, Wes, can you come over to our place for Easter? That'd be great. We'll steal you. And you want to focus on resurrection. Songs that focus on the resurrection and not necessarily, I mean, you could focus them on the cross, but the cross is behind us. Now, Good Friday's already gone. We don't have to get all, you know, keep it about life-giving, resurrection power. That's what it's about. You can help your worship leader with that, okay? I would also say sing songs that are that the congregation knows. Resurrection Sunday is not the Sunday to be introducing three new songs. Remember, you got a bunch of guests. If I'm wrong, Dan, let me know, because this guy's got a lot of experience in worship. But it's not the Sunday to be introducing a bunch of new songs. You want to sing songs that the congregation knows. You want to sing songs that the unchurched know. Do the unchurched know any Christian songs, Pastor John? Yes, they do. Amazing Grace. Sing it.
And Reckless Love.
And Reckless Love. Okay, there you go.
Thanks to Hobby Lobby.
That's right. You go in there and learn all the new songs. But regardless, think of the unbeliever, okay, because there's going to be a ton of new people. And so you want to also get into, so you help your worship leader in that way. Have a good conversation about where you want this thing to go. You should not be surprised this Easter what's going to happen with the worship team. You should not be surprised by this. You need to know what's going on and make sure you're involved in that and steering it in the right direction. Everybody needs to be reminded that this is a huge evangelistic opportunity for us. And I'm serious about this. Easter plays such an important role to the kind of fall you're going to have. It really does. It's a big momentum boost. It's a big momentum boost. And so I really want to encourage you that it's worth the time, effort, and it's worth the money, everything that you put in to preparing for Easter. And then promotion. Let me ask, when is Easter? What's the date this year?
April 20th,
right? Yeah. Oh. All right, I'm blocked that.
48 days.
You know what? You guys know. Good. You're good pastors. You know when Easter is. And if you didn't, shame on you. No. But you know what? From the pulpit, you need to start. I just did this yesterday. When is Easter? When's Easter? I told our office manager, get it in the bulletin. I want April 20th splattered all over this church. I want everybody to know that Easter's on April 20th. Let it be known. And then from the pulpit, I said, April 20th. When's Easter? April 20th. Ah, it's April 20th. It's going to be a great time. And then Mother's Day, 3 weeks after Easter. It's a unique time of year. We have Easter, huge day. And what's another big day for us? Mother's Day. So 3 weeks after Easter is Mother's Day. So what does that mean about Easter? What do you want to be promoting on Easter? When you have your largest attendance, you want to promote Mother's Day. You better have your Mother's Day plans down. So right now you should be feeling a little bit of pressure in preparing and taking initiative for Easter season, because Mother's Day is coming right after that. You need to start securing your photographer. If you're going to do a free family portrait, you need to get the plan down. Are you going to do a bunch of Lindt candies? You know, the nice chocolate candies, you could put three of them in a bag and nice and wrap it up with a bow, make it pretty and give all the mothers that, a little chocolate plus a flower. Whatever your plan is, now's the time, and it should be on the promotional material, somewhere on there, because it's going to go out to how many other people you're going to send, how many other postcards you're going to send out, it should be in there. Start promoting it now. Take it now. Don't make it about Mother's Day, Easter, but it needs to be mentioned. It needs to be in there. It needs to be on a slide, okay? I'll talk a little more about it, but you want to make sure you're always giving people a reason to come back. Why should I come back to this church? We want to get the creasters, right, into church on a regular time. But this is a fun season to do ministry. It's a fun season to do ministry. This is when, you know, pastors come out saying, this is why I'm a pastor, man, great. The crowds are big. Everybody's positive and upbeat. You're getting volunteers. You know, you want to enjoy it. Have fun with it. And optimize it, maximize it, okay? So you want to be able to promote it. Point number three, promotion. The number one reason people attend church really is that they were invited. They were invited. You know, you have the kids' conference, the youth event. I bet you a lot of the kids that were new were invited. They didn't get like an invite, you know, like in the mail or something like that. They were invited. I love postcards and that kind of thing. But when you invite somebody, so you just want to make sure you're promoting it and you're getting your people to invite it. Remember, there's two things. We talk about training, like evangelism training. We equip our people, but we also tool our people. So the two T's, training and tooling. You want to make sure you tool your people with the invite cards. Take advantage of them. And now's a good time to potentially try something new that you've never done. Maybe you've never done door hangers before. Maybe this is a great time to mobilize some people. It's a great way to get some evangelism going, kind of provide that opportunity, and get out there with them on a Good Friday, do a crosswalk, do something like that, hand out invites, get out there and hit, you know, 200 houses or 300 or 500, and just get the door hangers up there, okay? If the window guys can do it and the painting guys and lawn mowing guys can do it, you can do it too with those materials that you may not usually always use. Kent has some of the promotional assets. Do you have anything you want to say about that when it comes to the promotional stuff for New Life this year?
Yeah, so Tim and I, we've been working the last month to get graphics, print materials, Easter playbook ready to go. So that's going to be uploaded to admin this week so that you can begin customizing your materials. If you've done it before, it'll be a very similar process to the previous years. If you're a new location pastor stepping in, Tim is going to be available to kind of help guide you through that process. If you have a new office manager as well, I know we have several new office managers since last year. We'll assist them, you know, in the process. So that'll all be coming out this week. We'll send a follow-up email as well with those resources.
Great. So, and then what I try to do is on top of that, so we have this awesome team, this central services team that's a part of our congregation and actually part of your offering, actually goes to help support that ministry. And so take advantage of it, maximize it. And I would encourage you to even take it to another level. Some of the things that I've done is I hit newspapers, a lot of newspapers, like your community, like the Bridgeport News or whatever, you know, those kind of papers that you see in your neighborhood, they will actually give you free advertisement a lot of times for churches. So I'll put a free advertisement in that paper, and I'm trying to just, look, I'm trying to keep New Life Community Church top of mind with everybody. So when they think of a church, you know, I saw them in the newspaper the other day. They're the same ones where we got that postcard from. Remember that? Yeah, last year. You know, I saved it because people save postcards from churches for some reason. Unless they've had church hurt, then they rip them up into pieces, right? But take, get yourself, be assertive. Be assertive. Go the extra mile. We are not average pastors at New Life. We live above average. We want to be above average. Average pastor won't do it. The above average pastor will do the extra steps, and that's what you want to be. So use it. Use newspapers. Another great thing. Don't underestimate the power of a pastoral letter to your congregation, and stuff a couple invites in there. So everybody on your database gets a letter from the pastor that has invite cards tucked in there, maybe three of them, and just a motivational, inspirational letter from you that goes out to the congregation reminding them to invite people to church on Easter. Their presence at Easter is going to be important. And they get this letter in the mail that's from their pastor. They love it. On quality paper, okay? That's another way. And then also, social media. I'm stunned by the power of social media, and we just scratched the surface, to be honest with you. We just scratched the surface. I'm stunned by it. Something I need to learn more about. I want to encourage you to think through and see if you could figure out a way to heighten up your social media presence and do some advertising maybe on social media. It can be pretty affordable. And so I want to encourage you to do that online promotion. Just make sure it's within 15 to 20 miles of your own location so that you're not paying for an ad and it's being shown to some guy in Austin, Texas. You ever see those kind of ads come across? Here's a church that comes across and it's from Florida. It's like, this doesn't help me at all. The poor guy didn't do it right. He didn't do it right. So now he's paying for advertising all the way up in Chicago when his local church is in Florida. So you want to make sure you do it right. But these are things you want to be thinking about. I know that you won't do all of them, and I understand that, but you need to be thinking in this realm, okay? So do the door advertisements, maybe the hangers if you haven't done that. Then also, potentially, what if we did a video online? I'm just dreaming here, and this is not really an open-ended question, but I want you to think about it, stir it up a little bit. What if we did a video of some sort? What if we did an actual online video that was a New Life specific promotion? And we may already do this, but what about doing it on a streaming service or on YouTube? You know, you can do I think it's pretty affordable. I need to look into it a little bit more, but I've had other pastors that have done this that are within this coaching network that I'm in. It's very affordable, and they get their advertisement, you know, on the streaming network, and it comes up, and it hits thousands of different homes. What if we did one, just thinking out loud, and we don't have to talk about it now. What if we did a video advertisement for all of New Life's that came out of a fund that we've all contributed to or something like it? Figure it out. But to again, get good, strong exposure. Okay, we did this with the Tribune, where we got all come to the services at New Life, and it was a whole page, I think, within the Tribune. Was it the Tribune or Sun-Times? Tribune? Sun-Times. What if we did something like that? Any way that we can leverage advertising affordably. And if you're missing on the local newspapers in your community, you're missing on a big opportunity to create top of mind for your church. So if there's one in the Montclair neighborhood, you're getting somebody to, hey, look into what the Montclair News or whatever it's called and get it out there.
In the city, it would be cool with all the train stops having the electronic screens on now to just pay to have a New Life with the leak.
Yeah. You'd be shocked how powerful it is. We started a couple years ago, just started putting clips of the sermon, just little like 30-second clips of something powerful from a statement or something from the, and I've delegated it off. They even pick the segment they're going to put up there, which I don't always like, but they do it, and it does a great job. And we've had people put it on Instagram. We've had people come to our church and stay because they saw a video clip of a sermon on Instagram. One of the ladies, her whole family came, stayed, and is now on our worship team. Isn't that crazy? But just top of mind, get yourself out there. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then add subtitles
I don't think he uses AI, but he uses everything we do. YouTube is our primary means, and we're trying to stir everybody to YouTube these days because it's a better experience. And he just cuts out a little piece from 52.3 to, you know, whatever, 54.3. So he cuts it, yeah. And
you use Opus as well,
I don't know much of the technical, but I know how to delegate. If I have somebody in the congregation that is actually got skills, I'll work with them, you know. And so I'm always looking for that. So, yeah, so now is a key opportunity to just an experiment. Have fun with it, you know. You can't fail. Failure's not doing anything. Failure's just is just sitting on your keister, you know, not doing anything, and just kind of the average pastor or the below average pastor just doesn't do anything at all. Just does Easter, and it's a big deal, a religious deal, but not really a spiritual change that comes about. So, and then number four, and then one more after that, is preserve the fruit of Easter. Preserve the fruit of Easter. An important question to be asking right now is, how can we get people to come back? How can we get them to come back? How can we get them to want to come back to church, to come back a second Sunday, that we would pique their interest, that we would capture that moment where they're actually in church and get them to say, you know what, this is pretty cool. I haven't been in a while. I'd like to come back here. Your second time guest is a really big deal. It's a big win. First time guest, yeah, it's good. But man, to come a second time means they're interested. You know, they want to potentially come back. Something's touched their heart. Okay? So now's a time to be sharpening up your assimilation system. How many of you actually have a working assimilation system? Here, raise your hand up. I want to see
it.
Working? That's actually functioning. That's actually, you actually have a plan. You actually have a plan. Are you executing? What I mean by working is executing it. So let me give you an example. You don't have to raise your hands. But, you know, we worked hard to get a first-time guest into church, okay? We worked hard to get a first-time guest in church. We spent money. We've prayed. We've sought. We've motivated. What do we do what's their experience like from the moment they pull into the parking lot to coming up and are being welcomed into the church to being directed to a seat or walked to a seat? Do we just point to things where the bathroom is? Is there good signage in the church? Do we just point them to it, or do we walk them to their seats? Okay. So working with your preserving that fruit from the moment there should be a plan from the moment they park to the moment they walk in, the experience they have, the welcome they have, to the moment they exit. And part of that, you know, there's a lot we can talk about. We've talked about it before. It's somewhere on our admin site, I'm sure. But a big piece of that is a follow-up handwritten note by the pastor with maybe a little $5 Dunkin' Donuts gift card in there. And that you're following up within 72 hours, I like 48 hours better, with a handwritten note, an email, a handwritten note. You got to figure out which one you're going to do. We do text in church. That works. And then we also do the handwritten note. So immediately they're getting a text and they're getting a handwritten note. So this Sunday, a guy came second time he came this Sunday. I walked up and the first thing he says to me, "Pastor, thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that Dunkin' Donuts card." That was what turned him on. He got I bought the guy a $5 Dunkin' Donuts, man. And he's like, I gave him a brand new car. It was just stunning. And what it was a wow factor. It's a wow factor, first of all, to get something in the mail that has handwritten note, right, with a regular stamp on it, that's not a shop saver kind of garbage that you get and throw out. The first thing people look through in their mail is they'll open up the handwritten note. So you get a handwritten note out there. How hard is it to do that? I used to write them all myself. Now I have my office manager do it for me. I tell her what to write. She writes it, and I say, make it look like masculine handwriting, okay? And sign my name to it and get it out. And so that's what happens. If you're pastoring a church of 60 to 100, I would say you write all the notes yourself. Don't delegate it out quite yet. And that helps you get familiar with who your guests are. You know them by name. You've prayed for them as you've written the note, and you get it out. That's just one. But if you're going to concentrate on any system right now, it would be the assimilation system. How are you going to get people to come back? How are you going to get them to want to come back? You may want to pre-write some of your cards beforehand. So before Easter even comes, you've already got 10 or 15 or 20, whatever your faith tells you to do, handwritten notes that are already written out. And you have the cards all bought ahead of time, and you're ready to go. So the next, so when Monday comes after Easter, you're already just stamp, put the envelope in there or put the card in there and send it out. Get it in the mail right away. So you're ahead of it, so you're not letting it. Because if they're not written, you're not going to end up doing it. You're going to get too busy on everything else, okay? Maybe think about scheduling a newcomer mingle now that's after Easter. So you may want to have a manja mingle or meet the pastor. And don't get Chips Ahoy cookies. Get gourmet cookies that cost you like $3 or $4 a piece or whatever. I'm exaggerating, but I'm just saying.
And cut them in the middle.
And carne?
Cut them right in the middle.
Oh, yeah, never do that. Yeah, you remember. I can see you remember my pet peeve.
Yeah.
Go to a church.
You always cut them in half.
Yeah.
I always think of you.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Hey, at least you don't do like the Baptists do. They cut it up into 6 different pieces, okay? I'm kidding you Baptists out there. But, you know, give the people a full donut, will you? Welcome to our church, free donuts for everybody. You walk up there and they're all cut up like little appetizers, like little pieces of cheese. You get one donut and you think you're going to feed 6 people with it. It's like, come on, don't be cheap. Give them a donut, for goodness sake. You know, that's my pet peeve. Yeah. We did donuts. I don't know if we're going to do it this year, but we did donuts last Easter, man. There was so much. There was donuts all over the place. You walk in, it was like you're going into a donut factory because we had them up in the upper foyer area. We have a really zealous chef. And so everybody's getting all these gourmet donuts all over the place and you're coming to church. I don't know if that's the best thing. But anyways, you got me on a tangent there, Mr. Paco. And then also, a great way to get people back, and this is something I'd like us to really think through. We don't need to talk about it now, but I think it's going to stir some thought, is a strategically designing our sermon series. And I think we're going to talk about a little bit about that here today, just mention it. But you want to be strategic about it. Now, there's 3 particular approaches that you can take. One is the classical approach, which is teaching that leads up to Easter and it ends on Easter. It's a series that leads up to Easter, and then on your greatest attended Sunday, you end the series. That's one way to do it. That's the classical way. We're teaching, oh, it's Easter now, we're going to end the series, and we're going to, you know, have a standalone. And a standalone is another option. You have the standalone where it's Resurrection Day, and I don't mind a standalone, actually, where it's the emphasis is on Resurrection Day, okay? And there's special music. You may do baptisms on Easter. The church, in church history, Easter was a big Sunday for baptisms. We're going to do one at Elgin. It's one of our biggest baptisms of the year. It gives us a lot of great momentum into the summer. But you can do a standalone, or you can do a very strategic sermon series that's designed to get first-time guests and unchurched people back into the church. Gets them back into the church. So you can start a new series on Easter. You can start a felt need series on Easter that has an emphasis on things that people are dealing with. And if you look at statistics in January, it's one of the highest months of the year, the biggest month of the year for people filing for divorce. So they filed for a divorce in January, and now it's March. It's February, March, April. They're still feeling the effects of that. They're going through some difficulty. You could design a series that reaches felt needs, okay, that reaches the felt needs of the people. Be strategic. I want to come back to that. Wow, you're talking about relationship skills and how to get along with people. I want to come back to but make sure it's a felt need oriented. And there's a lot of different philosophy, a lot of different approaches. We've tried both here at New Life. But I always like to go in with this kind of idea of what are the felt needs and how can I get them back? How can I pique their interest? And so give them something to come back for. Think of the unchurched. And then promote Mother's Day on Easter. You want to promote Mother's Day on Easter, especially coming up. It's a great opportunity. All your advertising, we're sending out, I think, 20,000 postcards this year. It's been a very huge, one of the difference makers for us in every location that I've had a chance and privilege to pastor at New Life. So Melrose Park, it was the postcards that made a difference. Montclair, It was the postcards that made a difference. We sent out so many postcards in Montclair, I couldn't even stand on a sidewalk in the neighborhood. Oh, here's a new pastor. It's coming. I saw your picture. Like a real estate agent or something, you know? I saw your picture. Which, by the way, if you have a really old picture of yourself that makes you look a lot younger, you know, try to swap in a new one. It's more relative to your age and what you look like now. Okay, don't be that person, that real estate agent, right? And at Montgomery, same thing. Same thing. Postcards were huge. They were a big deal for us. And they don't just, it's not, they don't just get the return on Easter. You get the return over a course of a long period of time. You pray over every one of those postcards, okay? But you have a strategically designed sermon series. So if we do a sermon series on the Blue Book, which I think is what's scheduled, then you need to somehow tailor that in a way where it's also attractive and has a it touches a felt need somehow or another with certain people. Maybe on repentance, it's transformed life. Maybe on baptism, it's your first big step or whatever. But we need to think that through, make sure. Okay, and then lastly, the pastor. Someone needs to drive all this. And frankly speaking, you can't delegate it. The enthusiasm, the energy comes from you, whether you have a team or not. If you have a team, and you have the privilege of having a team, then you may be able to, you're still responsible to motivate that team, give the vision to that team, work with that team, okay? But you have to be the one to drive it. The pastor drives Easter, and he has to be the Easter champion. He has to be the Easter champion. And I know we have all different levels here of where, you know, we have some locations that are 40 people, 50, some that are 100, 150, 200, whatever. We're all at different levels, so we have to apply it and contextualize it accordingly, but really, you have to be the one that actually champions it. The pastor's enthusiasm is contagious. It really is. Your enthusiasm, your energy, your preparedness for Easter is going to really have an effect on the congregation. It's a great time, by the way. Last time we met in early February, we talked about volunteers. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that or you weren't a part of that teaching, you need to go to the admin site and look that up. There's a little article that's written, and there's, I think it's still on video there where you can actually watch it. And if you're a bivocational guy that's listening right now, this is something that needs to be a regular practice of your life. You cannot miss these meetings and still be a part of what's really taking place. If you really want to get into the center, you need to hear what's happening in these training sessions. And you can do that by listening to the podcast, watching the video, reading the article that relates directly to this. And remember, if the pastor doesn't try to maximize Easter, I'm going to say this boldly, nothing's really going to happen that beyond average. It might even go below average. So you have to feel the pressure of this. I think it's a key thing. And remember, leadership always sets the culture. It always sets the culture. I can tell you, I can walk into a church and sense the culture there, and then ask how long has the pastor been there, and I can make a correlation between the two. Everything does rise and fall on leadership. That's a John Maxwell. Yeah. Everything does rise and fall. And here's the other secret. I'm almost done. You have to work hard, guys. You have to work hard. If this was your business, your own business that you owned, okay, you would be really getting at it. And frankly speaking, a lot of us are in church planting mode still, and we have to get at it, do the hard work, get out of your comfort zone. You should feel overwhelmed. You should feel that pressure. But, you know, the overwhelmed feeling diminishes the more you're prepared. But right now is it. We're on right now when it comes to Easter. So the application zone is, I want you to pick three or four things that we talked about, even if it's just two. Of the five, which one do you really need to get to? Which one do you really need to get at? What are these five? Which do you really need to get at? Because what you're doing is when you get at it, what are you doing? The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. It's the principle of spiritual readiness. Are we ready? Did we do the work ahead of time so that God can bless us with these beautiful gifts called first-time guests? Right? Beautiful gifts. Every first-time guest is a gift from God. He's saying, I'm trusting you, steward, with this soul. What are you going to do with it? What have you prepared for it? Get that horse ready, okay? Be faithful, because God brings the growth. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Isn't it exciting? Because what he's saying here is ultimately every ounce of energy and work and investment that you put in, God is the one that's getting the glory, not you. You're a steward, and your call is to be faithful. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these dear brothers, these dear servants of yours that go through the battle every week, that faithfully preach every week, that faithfully give of themselves every week, week after week after week after week. I pray, God, that you would refresh them. I pray that you would empower them by your Spirit, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, that you'd put a hedge around them, Lord God, protecting them from the onslaught of the enemy who despises the day that he was de-weaponized, the day that he was defeated at the cross of Christ and the resurrection that credentialed everything that Jesus did. I pray that you'd strengthen them, that you'd motivate them, that you'd provide for them, that you'd give them greater faith to take big, bold, and courageous steps, Lord God, in preparation for Easter this year. We pray that you would bring the harvest, God, and that you would bring all the workers that we need, and that we'd be good, faithful stewards in those relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.